What's going on, everybody? Today it is just me for a little while, and I think Sean is out and about. You know, he needs to relax for a little bit, so that's what he's up to. Aaron might be joining in a bit, so it's just us. So if there are any topics that you want to talk about or any questions you have, you know, that'll help me out because it'll give me something to talk about. So yeah. Anyway, how you guys doing? Let me say what's up to some of you in the chat here. Of course, Tim Perry, how's it going? Van Ghoul, the true voice of reason, as always, how's it going? Everyday Jay, how's it going? You see, he has a little thing next to his name because he's part of the after show crew. If you want to be part of the crew, you can be part of the crew also at crew.dailyhifi.com. And super chats are appreciated. If you have some questions that you definitely want answered, then I'll make sure to get those 100%. What else? What's going on? I've been busy because in 2 days is going to be the open, I guess, public beta for Magic Beans. It's finally here. And so anybody who signed up for Magic Beans, it's going to be made available for purchase. So if you haven't signed up yet, you can still sign up. It's going to close on the 20th. So I think that I have a feeling that you will you'll beat yourself up if you don't sign up for this. And if you're planning on getting it later, it's just better to do it earlier. Let's just say that. I reward people who are early and who are supporters early on. Happy Beans Day, Cool Beans. Yes, yes. So all day I've been focused on just the tutorials for the app, just to make it easy so people know how to import the target curves for their different apps. You know, I know a lot of you guys here are advanced, but there may be some folks who are a little bit less advanced, and I need to make sure that it's easy for them to use. So yeah, that's what I've been into, and that's why I don't have a ton of topics today, because my focus has solely been on getting this ready. So yeah, so somebody asked here, will you send an email link? Everybody who signed up, you're part of this email list that I will email and give you access to purchase. So yeah, you will get an email. So make sure that you check your email, make sure it's the right one. If you put some fake email, then you won't get the email. How can I sign in for Magic Beans? I just posted this is the link here. If you just go to joeintel.com/MB, then that's what you need. Angela is telling me to close the list. Close the list tomorrow, midnight Pacific Standard Time. Okay, yes. List will be closed tomorrow, midnight Pacific Standard Time. So, yeah, not on Wednesday. Okay, so aside from that, what else? I will have a live stream on, what day is it today? On Wednesday. On Wednesday, I'll have a live stream, just a Q&A about Magic Beans. You know, I'm sure people have tons of questions, so that'll be the place for that. What else? I was posting about the things that you'll need for it. And so there's a list on the website where Angela's making a beautiful website with all the info. And one of the things we need to do is make sure that we tell people what you need, you know? And so this is kind of the standard, right? U-Mic 1, shock mount is handy because we're doing moving mic stuff, so you don't absolutely need that. And then this selfie stick tripod, you know, just because it can stand, but also it extends out if you need to reach height speakers, things like that. And make sure you have a cable that's long enough, so you may need an extension cable. And some of these old U-mics, they have like an old USB type and a USB-A, so I have to use this adapter to make it USB-C. So I think the new ones are USB-C, so that's not something you need, but just make sure you have an extension cable. And it was funny because I was making a list of all the stuff that you need. And then I realized that my mic has this red thing on the end, right? And what that is Sugru. You guys know what Sugru is? Sugru is the this like putty that turns into kind of like a hard rubber. But these are notorious. I've been through a few U-mics where the port breaks off, you know, especially if you have a long 30-foot extension cable and you're doing something and you don't realize it's caught on something. It's, yeah. So this basically stabilizes that point where it's connected. And you could take it off if you wanted to, but I find that it's a cool little trick. If you've ever had to replace one of these, put some Sugru on that thing. Anyway, thought that was kind of funny. Here's this professional website, and then I have some Sugru on the end of the U-mic. It is what it is. What else we got here? I'm trying to keep up with what you guys are saying here as well. So if you see me looking over here, set at the camera, because all of it is over here. Sugru. And people are messaging me at the same time. Okay. I've also been doing some car audio tuning. Reason being is I'm also testing Magic Beans in that situation because it is so difficult. Car audio is extremely hard compared to home audio. Just because, like, if you want to change something, you have to go underneath. You're in some awkward positions, first of all. So just the physical aspect of it. And, you know, you can't just change the wire. You have to, like, plug it into the amp and have all these different tools, things like that. And also the acoustics of a car are very different. For example, if you're, you know, on the left seat and the right seat, that's a totally different place in relation to the room. So consider that the car is the room, right? You're at different ends of the room. And then somebody in the middle row, right? Middle row, that's totally different part of the room, and the acoustics are totally different there. And so that's what I've been up to. I actually have I can show you guys some stuff here. Let me know if this is interesting to you. Let's see, screen two. Okay. So I have a couple subs in the van, in different locations to try to smooth out the bass, but this is REW, and this is a really cool feature, and I don't know if you guys know about this, but you can do this alignment tool. See, it says alignment tool, and this only works with sweeps. It doesn't work with RTA measurements. It needs phase information to be able to do this, but here's an example. So alignment tool, basically you pick two speakers, and it will show you how they align. So in this example, position 3L, okay. You clear all these to make it a little easier for you to see. Position 3L and JBL position 3. Okay. All right. So these are the two. So this is like a 6x9 that's in the door. And this is the sub response at that position, which is not very good. But here's in black, what you see here is what happens when they combine. All right. So in normal polarity, you know, switching the wires. So normal polarity, it's actually lower than if I invert it. So in this case, at that particular location, it's better for me to invert the polarity. But the problem is that if I go, let's say I turn on position 1 and position 3, JBL, where are you? Position 1. Okay, position 1, okay. And JBL position 1. If I invert the polarity, it's worse. So I can't, what do? Right? It's worse in one location, better in another location. So that's what makes car audio so difficult. And that's kind of why I like it. It's such an extreme challenge when you go back to the home, you know, you go to your home theater. I'm like, oh man, this is easy. All the seats are pretty much in a similar location. But yeah, if you're interested in this, you should definitely look into the sub alignment tool in REW. Because here's what you can do. Instead of actually making the changes, you can get an idea what they will do. So if I increase the sub, it'll show you what will happen. Okay, so increase the gain. And then if I increase the, let's say, delay, right? You can see what's happening to the response as I change the delay. Right. So, yeah. And below here, this is the phase information. So you kind of just want to align where you're crossing over. So in my case, it's 80 hertz. So I just want to make sure that those are aligned there. Where it's hard to see. It's hard to see right now. But anyway, that's that. Let me see, what are you guys asking over here? Any news on Magic Beans on iOS? So that'll probably be the last one that I'll be able to implement, just because it does take a while for Apple to approve the app in the App Store. And there's no way in the US to be able to sideload apps on iOS. So on a computer, Mac, PC, you can just download the file, run it, and it works. On Mac, it's a little tricky. You have to do some stuff because of the security stuff, and they want you to, you know, have it signed and all that stuff. But on iOS, there's no way to get it onto your phone without it being in the App Store. So it's just their thing. They want their cut. What kind of car apps are you running? Some inexpensive ones. I think Parts Express, they sent me some like US Acoustics ones a while back. And then this is part of it. I have this up. So I don't know if you guys watch Williston. What is his name now? Williston Audio Labs. He always changes his name. But I like his channel here. Chrome tab, let me see. Here we go. So this little amp, it's $50. I'm like, $50? How's that even possible? You know, back in the day, you had to spend a lot of money. You know, I was running, running a SoundStream Class A. It was called Class A amp. And that thing was expensive. But now I think what's happening now is the Class D chips that we're seeing in a lot of the home audio stuff, the TPA, I don't know the numbers. They're starting to use them in car audio, which is interesting. So I ended up buying a few of these just because I was curious. I was curious to see how well they work. And they work. You know, they work. I think they're a little bit hissy, but yeah. Kind of interesting that they're using that TPA chip in car audio amplifiers now. So that's cool. And the reason I like his channel is because he does these amp dynos where he actually puts the amp on this testing thing and it tells you if it's hitting, you know, the wattage that it's saying that it can hit. So I wish Aaron were in here, because I wanted to mention something that he's doing. He is doing some more amplifier testing, which I think is really awesome. Some kind of more real world stuff, like what happens when you're playing a single tone versus if you're playing multi-tone, that's more similar to music where, you know, you have multiple things coming in at the same time. And he's seeing what happens to the wattage, right? So is it hitting the rated amount of power? And then if you play music through it and play it loud, is it still hitting that same high level, right? So, and a lot of times it doesn't. Sometimes the power supply can't keep up, it gets saturated, and what you have is the power is lower than expected. So that's a cool real world test of an amplifier. And what else does he do? He does that. Well, there was something else that he did that was really cool. I don't know if you guys remember. So the multi-tone, I don't know, but I have some of those amps that he recently reviewed. Somebody mentioned it here. It is the Fosse Audio. Is that it? Where is it? Fosse, where is it? Anyway, it's a new Fosse Audio with a little orange knob. A lot of people are reviewing them. And you know, getting all these good reviews. And of course, Aaron measured it, and there were some, you know, some issues, I would say. There he is. Oh, no, he's upside down. Oh, okay. What's up, man?
Upside down. What's up?
Did you hear what I was talking about right now?
No. What are you talking? Are you pushing magic beans, man? Are you shilling?
Oh, I'm done. I'm done with that. That's for my channel. I was actually pimping out. I was actually about to pimp out your Patreon.
Oh, do it, man.
Yeah, I was saying,
like, I didn't know.
Yeah, no, I was talking about your Fosse. What was the name of that thing? Fosse?
ZA3.
ZA3. That's it.
Yeah.
So they sent me two of those things, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what to say. I'm like, I actually didn't really ask for them. I told them, you have some, you sent me another amp. I haven't even had time to review that. So I don't know that you want to send me any more stuff because I haven't even reviewed that other amp. And then it just arrived. So two. Anyway, Angela says she loves your shirt.
Oh yeah. What's up? Sync, baby.
Yeah. But it was cool. Like you did some stuff that I was talking about, like the multi-tone test, but there were some other things that I thought were like cool. I can't remember what it was specifically about the measurements, but I was like, man, that's different. Like I haven't seen other people do that specific test. Can you recall? I can't recall all of them.
So for the video, maybe the reactive load testing?
Reactive load testing.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
I'm surprised. Like Stereophile does that. I'm really surprised that Amir doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen him talk about why he doesn't do it. I think it's a dumb excuse, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think it should be done. So, but yeah, I had a guy that, well, yeah, I can't say who he worked for. But I had an engineer actually build them for me, and he was from England. And it was like $3,000-something in parts, and then I paid him for his time. So I all in all, I think I had like $5,300 wrapped up in those things. But there's four total circuits, two duplicates, so it's like a stereo pair, and each one is like a complex load, and the other one is a simple load. And the simple load is pretty much a copy of the Stereophile load because I kind of wanted to be consistent with what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But then I wanted to go a step beyond that and make a load that would be a little bit more complex. So it has a lower resistance, like a lower impedance overall. And but the idea is that they emulate like a real speaker. And so
what does that mean by reactive though? To me, that means that it's changing or something. Like, is that?
Yeah. Like if you ever sweep, like if you ever do an impedance sweep of a speaker, you know, it's not going to be like a static 4-ohm load or a static 8-ohm load. It's going to vary based on like the crossover network and the speaker itself. And so the idea there is to try to emulate a speaker load as best you can, right? Like there are certain effects from the speakers that you can never fully emulate, like the nonlinearities of a speaker, mm-hmm. motor, things like that. But within reason, you know, you're just trying to get an idea of what happens to the amplifier when it's presented with a load that's not a standard 4-ohm load or a standard 8-ohm load or 2-ohm load. So what you can get with some speakers that are, or some amplifiers that are load dependent, is you can get variations in the frequency response, like as low as what I'm saying is like as low as 2 kilohertz, right? Like, so normally what I've seen from standard static loads where they'll test a 4-ohm or an 8-ohm load and it's just consistent throughout, is that you'll get some deviation above like 10 kilohertz and it can be maybe plus or minus a decibel. Whether or not you're going to hear that, I'll leave up to other people to decide if they think they can hear that. But what I get when I test reactive loads is deviation lower in frequency. And so with that Fosse amp and with the Weem amp, they're same Texas Instrument chip. So the result from the frequency response testing that I did on each of those was the same. And that was a pretty significant, in terms of amplifiers, a pretty significant deviation in response from like 2 kilohertz to 20 kilohertz, but it would kind of like move, you know, like it would peak up around maybe 3 kilohertz and come back down and then peak up around 7 kilohertz and be kind of broader. I think those are more likely to be audible. Especially like with this ZA3 amplifier that I just tested. Again, same thing as the Weem results. With the complex load, a speaker that has like a two-way design speaker. It started at like 3K, peaked at about maybe a decibel around 7K or so, and then kind of started falling back off. And you got to think like 3 to 12 kilohertz of about plus 1 dB. I think you could hear that, you know? Like when you're EQ and stuff, you can probably hear that. So I like doing that because I think it adds legitimacy to the audibility of differences in amplifiers. Whether or not it's audible to everybody, you know, again, I'll leave up to the individual to make that decision. But it just kind of shows the potential for us to hear things that and explain things that may be audible.
Well, how about when audiophiles talk about, oh, you know, some of these class D amps, they sound a little bit, they talk about the higher frequencies, that something's happening in the higher frequencies, maybe based on the implementation. And on this last test, there were some things happening in the higher frequencies where that might be audible. And it's like, maybe these guys aren't that crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe they were hearing a little something. So that's why I like these things. Because truthfully, I don't think that they're crazy. Right? That's the thing. When I hear, you know, audiophile type of guys, you know, I'm stereotyping here, but that's actually a good magazine name, Stereotype. Anyway,
ooh, I like that.
For stereo stuff only.
Yeah.
I don't think they're crazy. It's just that it's tough when they don't have anything to back up what they're saying, because when they're, you know, some of them are not always truthful, and some guys are. Right, some guys are really working hard to try to listen to something and try to give a good analysis based on what they hear. Mm-hmm. So it's just tough. But now when you see, and you know, it correlates. Okay, maybe what they heard was this. There it is. That makes it easy.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I mean, I'm like you. When I hear people say stuff, I'm pretty cynical. I'm like, okay, well, I need you to prove that, you know, because especially like about the op amp switching. Like these guys were saying, you're supposed to put the Sparco op amps in because Cheap Audio Man said it did, you know, this thing to the soundstage or whatever. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, I'm sure that people think they hear what they hear, but whether or not they actually hear it is what I doubt. Right. And until you can prove it somehow, then I'm just going to be skeptical. It doesn't mean that I think you're lying. It just means that I'm going to be skeptical of whether or not it's actually audible, because dude, if anybody has been doing this for any decent amount of time, especially like when it comes to DIY, then you know that you've plugged the wrong setting into your DSP once or twice and thought it made a change, and then you realize that you didn't.
You're like, yeah, that's good, man. I did it. It wasn't on. What the heck?
Dude, one of the best stories I have, I got two really good ones, but I'll tell you one of the best ones. I'll leave my personal one out of this. Actually, this was my personal one. So I was helping a friend tune his car before a big get-together in North Carolina. And we were up till like 10 o'clock that night in the driveway. And when you're tuning in the car stereo world, you know, you tune by side. So you'll shut down like all the speakers on the left side and try to focus on getting those together and do the same thing for the right side and get all the other side together. And then you do time alignment between left to right and do all this stuff. So you're like constantly muting channels. And I muted his right, I think it was his right mid bass, so I could do some time alignment stuff. And I just forgot to unmute it. And he went all day the next day giving tunes, and people were like, oh man, it sounds great. And then I think it was when he was about ready to leave, he was going to go back to a different tune, and he realized that my tune that I left it on was muted on his right mid bass. Now he had like 30 people in that car throughout the entire day, and he drove it to a hotel and drove it back in the morning and never noticed it, thinking it sounded great, but he just didn't turn it back on after I left it. You know, so like that's a perfect example of the things that we do that can trick our brain. So that is why I don't believe people when they say they heard X, Y, or Z, unless they can say that they kind of, they at least tried to vet that out with some ABX testing or something like that. I just keep my mouth shut when I hear stuff.
And like, you know, I think that the folks who take offense to that, I'm not sure if I understand exactly why, because you know, if it's just a subjective thing, we've just said we can make mistakes. Like I've done a tune, thought it sounded good, and I'm like, oh, it wasn't even engaged. Right. So I was strict, right? That's me. And I'm pretty good at this stuff. This is what I do all day. Right. So when somebody else says it, it's not that I think that they specifically are not good at this. It's just that it's we're all susceptible to this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a personal thing against anybody else. It's a personal thing against me and my own experience, knowing that I've heard things that weren't real. And so, and I try to make the point too, that if it's just me and you talking privately, then I'll tell you all sorts of stuff, right? But as soon as I turn on my camera and I start making videos for the general public, it's different. You know, I'm more careful about what I say because I don't want to mislead anybody, or I don't want to talk about things that I don't have real confidence in. And that's really where I just kind of draw the line for reviews.
Well, this is something for people to think about also, is you talked about being skeptical. And skepticism, I think, is healthy. You know, why just trust? Where does that come from? Like, let's just trust. I'm going to trust everything this guy says. I often say, don't even trust everything I say, because a lot of times I'm wrong about something, not intentionally, but just because I may have made a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, those types of things happen. And then I'll try and fix it, or say, you know, I'll try to redo something in a video or make an update, and I'll say, hey, I made a mistake. But that's what I'm saying. Don't always be skeptical. I think it's a healthy thing. And I think that's what science, right? Science is about skepticism and not being sure about something and doing more tests to find out if what you think was true is actually true, and trying to remove some of the skepticism. But it's always there. It should always be there.
Yeah, it should always be there. You know, especially when you're looking, like I said, when you're looking at somebody who is a reviewer who has amassed a big following, you know, like, or even a respectable size following, like, you know, I don't even have 50,000, but I'm very cautious to be as to what I put out there. And so when these guys are saying that I swapped this thing, or I did this thing and that thing, and I'm like, cool, I believe you think you heard what you heard, but is that real? Right? Because our brains can easily play tricks on us. Like the Ghetto Boys say, man. Wasn't that the Ghetto Boys? My mind is playing tricks on me. Yeah. So
Yeah, or you don't want to be punching on the concrete. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't be punching on the concrete.
Exactly.
And you know, the measurements that you do oftentimes will verify what they heard. So I don't know why they shouldn't be against it, because you may find, oh, actually, these op amps, this is exactly what it does, and that makes sense that somebody would hear this. Well, that's what I want to know. I want to know. Right. I want to know how things work. You know, right. I don't want just magic. I want to know how the magic, I'm interested in how it works, right?
And that's why it's kind of
funny we call it magic beans, right? Because we call it magic beans, but here I am on videos, I'm just explaining how everything works. Like,
yeah,
this is how it works. This is what we're doing. You know,
I agree, man. I think, I always view measurements and stuff like that in service to the subjective. I don't ever put the measurements first, and I never have. The whole reason I started this down the technical path of the hobby is because I wanted to understand, like, well, why am I hearing this thing? You know, like, there's got to be an explanation for it. And I'm happy to accept that there's not an explanation, as long as it's proven that there is an audible difference. Like, if somebody says, I had people commenting on the video saying that, you know, I swapped these op amps out and I heard a difference, and I'm like, again, I'm skeptical. I'm probably not going to believe you without some proof. If you can prove it, you know, if you say I did this double blind testing and I consistently knew there was a difference and I could tell them apart, then that's great. And then to me, the next step would be, okay, well, why do we think that is? And can we prove it? And if we can't, okay, that's fine. But I think the hard work is just proving that you did actually hear something different, and identifying what that was would be the next step.
I would love to see the op amp thing. I think you may find some discrepancies that may make it so that stereo stuff does something weird.
Yeah.
You know, it could be that. Maybe some weird little, like, small things that are in there. I'm curious. I'm really curious. And because you did that review of that Fosse ZA3 that, you know, I eventually will probably do once I find time and I'm not doing so much stuff with the launch for Magic Beans. It helps me, because I don't know what to say about these amps. If I'm not going to do testing, I don't want to be one of those dudes, oh yeah, you know, sounds so good, I don't know what to say. I can talk about the connections. I can talk about XLR. Those are the things that I'm confident in saying this is what this does and this is where it might be useful. So I had to, I told you on your thing and you left. I'm like, I got to be a patron now because at this point I feel like I'm stealing. You're giving me all this info. You know, you're putting in the work that makes me not look like an idiot. That's what's funny.
Yeah.
As a reviewer, it makes me not look dumb because I can just say, if you want the measurements, go check out Aaron's thing and tells you all the things that you need to know about the measurements. Let me talk to you guys about the connections.
Yeah, no, I hear you there, man. Well, I mean, it took me like 2 days or so to try to figure out what was going on, because when I measured it the first time, I was getting rated power at 8 ohm, but I was not getting rated power at 4 ohm. Thank you, sir. And I couldn't figure out why, you know, like I was like, what's going on? So I saw that Amir tested it and I was looking at Amir's results and I was like, well, he's getting, I think right at rated power, you know, close to it. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on. But then I realized that the stimulus length was really changing things. So if I shorten the stimulus length to make it, instead of having like a longer period of like the tone lasting, you know, let's just say a second, just mm-hmm. for example, versus lasting like a millisecond, you know, if it just pulsed it, if I pulsed it, I could get rated power. But mm-hmm. if it hung onto that tone for a little bit longer than that, it would go into protect with both channels driven at 4 ohm. It consistently did it. Wow. Even when, so I've got two banks of 4 ohm resistors. So I did a lot of troubleshooting and I can wire them up into 2, 4, or 8 ohm. So what I did was I, just to make sure that it wasn't the resistors, I switched banks around and I still consistently got the same result where both channels driven at 4 ohm with a longer stimulus would go into protect every time at like 90 watts and it was supposed to be 185 watts or 100 watts and it was supposed to be 185 watts or something. But when I figured that out, I was like, finally, like at least I understand why this is happening now. So I published those results. It's interesting though to me to see like how the different stimulus lengths can actually drive that. I never really even considered that until now. And now I'll have to always think about that and then be even more cautious when I see other people's tests. I'd be like, all right, well, what, how did you test this?
How much does the frequency that you use to do the test affect the wattage rating? Because I know like 1 kilohertz is a typical tone, but like 1 kilohertz is loud, is like, that's why 1 kilohertz, I guess.
Yeah. I think that I'll be honest with you. I don't know why 1 kilohertz is the chosen de facto standard. I just know that it is. Mm. But you can also test them with different tones as well. Like that's also part of it. And so I've seen, you know, maybe 20 Hertz might not do as well. 20 Hertz may be higher in distortion. And then when you get out of 20 Hertz and get into like, I don't know, 50 or 60 Hertz, everything falls in line. And then there are little stray frequencies that may be a little bit higher, but that's a level of understanding that I just don't have. Okay.
How about this? What would you expect 10K to be? Like 10 kilohertz, would it possibly make a lot more power? Because I was talking about Williston Audio Labs.
Yeah.
And how he does a test. And I remember watching an old video where he did a test with this amp that wasn't making rated power, right? And just for fun, let me run the 10K test tone through it. And it made like a crazy amount of power, right? At 10 kilohertz, weird, though. And it didn't go
do that, though. Effect. Like if you're feeding it the same input signal, I mean, you can think of it in terms of frequency response, right? Like if I'm feeding it 1 volt and I get 2 watts out, I'm just making numbers up. You know, I get 2 watts out at 1K, then I should get 2 watts out at 10K, feeding the same input voltage. So it shouldn't change, but it can.
I think he was changing it by doing like ridiculously low loads on it.
Yeah. Yeah, he has like dynamic tests and stuff like that too, or certified and uncertified tests. I can't keep up. I actually watched his Fozzy review the day that I made mine. And I remember, if I remember correctly, when he did his dynamic test, one of his tests that he did didn't hit the manufacturer's rating and it came up pretty short because he uses that dun dun sound, you know, burr, burr, one of those Price is Right sound or something. Yeah. So anyway,
the same thing. He always doing this.
You big dummy. Yeah. I love his videos, man. They're real. They're entertaining and they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good. He's been doing that sort of stuff for a while now.
Yeah.
But I was talking before you got on about this amp that he recently reviewed, which uses, I think it's using a TPA. Somebody mentioned in the comments that the layout looked like a TPA amp,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a TPI, like chip amp, but it was for car audio. And I was like, oh, is that how it's going now? Like we're using the same thing that's in like these Class D amps that we use at home, and it's just for car audio because it's unbelievably tiny. Like it's hilariously small. Look at this thing.
Well, your JBL MS8, I think it uses chip amps too, and that thing came out in 2010.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This thing. Look at this.
What?
So whoever is the crazy folks out there who can look at a you know, the chip layout and say what it is based on how stuff is laid out, you guys are nuts, man. I don't know how you guys are doing that.
I envy those guys.
There.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the amp.
Yeah.
So I had to buy a couple just because I was really curious. Like, I wonder how this sounds. And can it, like, that just sounds crazy. They're just so tiny. They're like, seriously. And they're a little bit hissy, though. And you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I hate that. That sucks.
What's up with that? So anyway, that's definitely for the folks out there who haven't subscribed or become one of your patron supporters. It's kind of worth it. Like, I didn't want to do it because I'm like, oh, we're friends, you know. If I need something, then he'll send me something. But in actuality, if you're friends, then you should really support them, right? Then you definitely should. Yeah, you definitely should. And you actually do a lot for your patrons. Like, I went in there. I'm glad. I don't really do Patreon because I don't have the bandwidth to do anything extra. But you're in there, you're like showing a lot of stuff and like doing like a lot.
I try to. Sometimes I'll slack, you know, where I won't do much, but I try to, at the least, I just try to show them like what's going on, stuff like that, you know, because I figure if somebody's kicking me over $5 a month or something like that, then, you know, like that's what they're signing up for. They want to know a little bit about what's going on. I'm like, that's the least I can do.
Yeah. Well, there's early access stuff too, which is cool.
Yeah.
Man, I think a lot of people do that, but there's, you do a lot, man. There's a lot that you do back there. Just showing some of the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. The pictures where I'm like, do not share this publicly.
Don't show this to anybody.
Yeah. Like, do not. It's like, I don't want them to see my living room. I don't want the public to see my living room or where my test stuff goes on at, you know, like, yeah,
for real,
like,
though,
please do not share this publicly.
That is, it's definitely one of the ones that's worth it, you know. And Audio Unleashed, that's who I pay. That's it.
Nobody else. I'm looking forward to listening to the new one that just came out.
Is that right? I usually do it when I cut my hair.
Well, so, I normally don't do it until it hits the Apple Podcast, just because it's convenient, because I can do it through Apple Podcasts. But some of the topics we're talking about now, I'm like, oh, I really want to hear that one. You know, like, I don't know if I want to wait.
Let's see. Can I show this without showing? Yeah, I guess I can. So I'll leave a link here to your Patreon. Let me make a link here. Boom. Oh. Come on, add banner. There it is. And then I'll paste it into here also. It starts at $50. Just kidding.
$500.
Oh, man.
$5 million.
What you've done, the payments is pretty smart, too. You got your support crew for $5, right? I just want to make sure I'm not showing the public. Okay, I'm showing the private version. Okay, let me pimp this out real quick. Let me shill this out real quick.
All right, go ahead and shill it out.
You want to see my shilling skills? I'm gonna show you how to. This is how you shill. Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me show the tab. All right, guys. So look, you have your $5 a month support crew, right? Which is cool. You know, you're just showing your support. Keep grease on the wheels. Only you'd say that. I'd never say thanks for chipping in and helping me keep grease on the wheels.
Yeah, man, you got to grease the wheels every now and again.
Oh man, that's funny. So you get the behind the scenes updates, which I was talking about. You do a lot of exclusive lens access. All right,
which I don't even know what that is, but I think it's just,
I don't know, so but that's what I, that's bro, what I do. you're sneaky with it, I'll tell you, because all I wanted this YouTube early access, sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's a few days early, and he's tricky with it. You know why? Because he'll post, like, especially when it's real early, he'll post on the community post on YouTube, like, hey, for my patrons, here's this review that you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I kind of want to see that. Like, I want to see it like right now. I don't want to see it later. I want to see it now. So anyway, I had to pay the $10. I get to see it with everybody else. And it's worth it. You know, it's like the recent review that you did. You go click in there and nobody's even commented yet because it's still like, it's fresh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what is this? What, these are crazy ones, right? Hi-Fi Nut. All right, Yard Sale, okay. Oh, damn. Yeah. So, you know,
I don't have anybody on the $100 tier, but I actually do have some folks on the $40 tier, and we do a patron chat. I try to do it at least once a month. But man, I was slacking for like the last 3 months, so I'm going to try to make up for it and do it like twice, like every other week for a little while. But it's core guys, man. It's people like that I've met at shows and things like this. It's just really cool, you know, to have that kind of community and see those people in person too.
Would you allow a company to pay? Like, how would you feel about that? Like, if a company said, like, or let's say a representative, I guess, because it's not a company itself is not going to join. Yeah. But because I've seen that before where they have like company ones where it's just like, if your company is willing to pay this, if it's worth it to them for whatever reason, then.
Yeah, I've had a couple companies, or not companies, but people who work for companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Like, I'll post. So the way I do my reviews, and it's rare that I don't do it this way. Mm-hmm. And I'll fill that in a second. The way I do my reviews is I get the stuff in, I listen to it, I test it. I don't usually ask any questions. There's no feedback to the manufacturer before the review is published, right? So they don't see it before anybody else, except for like rare cases such as this PS Audio, where I had to test it in a atypical way, and I was a little bit worried. The last thing I want to do is publish data that's not correct. So I reached out to the designer and said, hey, does this look right to you? And then he sent me, you know, what he kind of has. And so I said, okay, yeah, this makes sense. I'm moving forward then. But other than like a sanity check or something like that, occasionally, nobody sees it. The manufacturers never see it before the public does. So what has happened is I will post like on my YouTube community page and say, all right, patrons, heads up. If you want to see my review for the so-and-so thing, you know, here's a link, go check it out. And then I'll have manufacturers or reps or whatever sign up so they can view my review of their product, like, because they don't want to wait 2 or 3 days or whatever it's going to be. It's pretty funny that they do that when I'm just like, I mean, you know, it's coming, just wait, you know, but
yeah.
I don't know. But I think it's cool.
It's worth it, man. You do actual work, right? That's what I said to you. Like, you're doing actual work here.
I legit bust my ass. That is one thing I do. Like, I don't brag on myself much at all, but when it comes to what I do, I work hard, man. So I appreciate that.
And you enjoy doing that?
I do enjoy it, man. I don't enjoy it for the amount of work and return that I get for it, but it's fun, you know what I mean? Like, it's still a passion.
Like, tell me what's interesting. Like, all right, here's this brand new speaker, right? Maybe a weird configuration. Like, what's your thought process going into that? Like, I can't wait to see this on the clip. I can't wait to see the measurements. Like, what are you thinking about?
Everything, like with like the PS Audio FR10, one thing I was really curious about was, and I'll just be frank, PS Audio is kind of, Paul is a little bit out there, man. Paul's a bit out there. Like, I've seen some of his videos and I'm like, oh, I don't know about all that. And then there was all that drama with ASR and PS Audio. And I was like, this is really kind of silly. But their speaker designer, Chris, he reached out a couple of years ago and asked if I'd be interested in testing the FR30. And I just told him, I was like, man, it's too big. But we had chatted a couple of times off and on. And it turns out that he knew me from DIY Mobile Audio back in the day. And we kind of like shared a couple little jokes and anecdotes about those times. And then I saw they came out with the FR10 like in November or so. So I reached out to him. I was like, I can actually test that. Would you mind sending that to me? So he sent it to me. But I was curious about, honestly, can they make a good speaker? You know, like, and it's not to say anything bad about Chris, but, you know, PS Audio has a lot of hype behind it. And I really wanted to hear what they sounded like. And then measurements for me weren't necessarily that important for that particular speaker. Mm-hmm. I was more interested in hearing how that one sounded. And then the measurements came after the fact, and you know, that'll all be out in a couple of days. But then like on something like the Kef Blade 2, I'd experienced them before, but never in my home, right? Like never in a real home type setting. So I was really curious to see how they sounded, but also how I was going to find like a correlation between the measurements. So that's a case where I was really interested in both. Like I kind of had an idea of what I was going to hear, and I really wanted to know how that was going to relate to the measurements. And I was even talking to one of their engineers today. Like I just kind of gave him a heads up. I was like, dude, I was able to measure it on the Clipple, and the results match your white paper. And I didn't tell him anything other than that. And I said, but I really love them. And I sent him the link to our chat about those speakers last week.
Uh-huh.
So he watched it and he replied back kind of saying like, yeah, there's some things about these speakers that I don't quite know how to explain what those attributes align to in measurements just yet. And I was like, well, that's cool. You know, like to get that kind of feedback from one of their engineers. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about different speakers is sometimes you'll find issues, right? But then there's going to be something really good about it. Like you're saying that the mid bass was really awesome on that. And sometimes these things that it does really well kind of outweighs the things that it doesn't do well, which lets you realize like maybe more companies should focus on this mid bass part, because I think a lot of people of course try to minimize all the issues as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that might be one thing if you had to make a trade-off to maybe that's a better trade-off.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was saying. Like the measurements for, I mean, I don't mind saying it here, the measurements for the FR10, there's a couple things that are like, these are $10,000. Like, why do they not look perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then there are two things that they do probably better than at least the majority, if not all of the other speakers that I'll listen to. That mid-bass integration is just awesome. I don't know if that's the best I've ever heard, but it's definitely up there. But that radiation width and that soundstage is so freaking awesome, dude. Like, I would own those speakers almost solely for that. Honestly, like, that's how much I appreciated having heard that. And so I'm looking at the measurements, and I'm like, yeah. Like, there's a couple things in the measurements, but overall, it's a really good-sounding speaker. So I'm curious how the community is going to respond to my review of that speaker. And I kind of expect there's going to be some negative people like, well, I can't believe you say they sound good when they measure like this. And it's like, yeah, but we've already proven that there are certain things in measurements that aren't as bad as other aspects. So for example, like a narrow dip at 6 kilohertz is nowhere near as bad as a narrow peak at 6 kilohertz, right? Like it's not flat, and that kind of sucks, but I can deal with the dip because it's pretty narrow band, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the other things it does are fantastic. Now the Blade 2, oh my God, dude.
Okay, so like, real quick, while you're on this one though, do you think the mid bass is better because they use vented drivers?
No, I my theory, and it's just a theory, is that it has a lot to do with the fact that they're close to the floor. And I talk about it in the video, kind of getting rid of that floor bounce. And I think that helps with that mid bass, like the attack is there, like that presence of that sound is there. But then I say that, and then I go and listen to like the Kef Blade 2 metas, and those are just like on another level on their own, right? Where the drivers are off the ground almost like 3.5 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely floor bounce from those. So then the question is, okay, now do I want the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the point source sound where all the mid-bass drivers and the mid-range and the tweeter are all in the same space? Or would the speaker sound better if the woofers were on the floor like the PS Audio was?
Okay, so then it's just what happens to the floor bounce, the frequency where the floor bounce happens? What happens as you move it higher off the ground? Right, so low, so what happens, and then versus you move it up, right? What happens as you move it up?
So the closer you move something to its reflecting point, the higher in frequency you move that reflection up. And you can basically get it up so high that it's out of the pass band of it, right? Mm. So if they cross, if you have a floor bounce at 300 hertz because of where the speaker is positioned, like up eye level or ear level or so, and then you move it down, well, then moving it down, you're shifting that frequency. I believe it's up. Now I'm starting to wonder, am I right here? I believe it's up.
It's similar to the SBIR effect, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know which one it is, if it's up or down, but you just want it out of the range.
Yeah, so it moves out of the passband. Yeah, it moves up in frequency. Yeah. So you get it out of the passband that speaker is playing, and then you don't have that null there. But the downside of that is that you don't have that vertical directivity match between the mid-range and the mid-bass, because now there's further separation of those two drivers. And when all the drivers are co-located, everything sounds like a point source. But when they're not, it's harder to make it sound like a point source. So that's a trade-off, right? They're two totally different design principles, but they both sound very good in their own right. And trying to separate like what it is that makes this thing sound better is really hard. And that's why I say, like, I think that the PS Audio, that mid-bass, lower mid-range area, sounds so good because it's close to the floor. And the only thing that I really had to go on is experience based on hearing, I don't know, hundreds of other speakers at this point where they don't have that. And I don't notice that it sounds as good in that region, you know?
Okay, so how about this? If moving it closer to the boundary moves the frequency up, then moving it away lowers it.
Yeah.
Lowers. Okay, so at what distance would you have to raise a speaker away from the boundary where it's lower than the passband? Is that way too far?
You're talking like really, because that passband would be for a mid bass is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And if you're talking like a mid range, then you can also go higher with it too, right? And bring that null down into a lower frequency where it's out of its pass band too.
Yeah, so. But no go with actual bass units.
I don't think so.
Because typically they say move the speaker about 3 feet away from the wall.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the typical distance that they recommend. It's either like in wall or 3 feet away is kind of like a good distance. Are those woofers on the Kef about 3 feet above or not that high?
Yeah, they're about 3.5 maybe, ballpark.
Does that have the same effect as it being 3 feet away from the rear wall? I know that's silly questions.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's kind of, you know, when you're talking about a room, everything is a little bit different, but it's basically the same. I mean, a reflection is going to be pretty much the same. So I'm still trying to think, am I saying that right? Because now I'm like, oh, is that right? I don't want to.
Man, you're in a car. Don't worry about it. This is not on your channel. We do a live stream every Monday where.
Yeah, I know, but you know me. I'm bugging right now. I'm like, is that right? I think it moves it lower when you move it closer to the ground. Or did I say higher?
Maybe somebody else here knows for sure.
I need to think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I'll further away from the wall. My brain is not thinking right now, dude.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you probably went to work today.
Yeah.
Monday.
I did know this at one point, but now my brain is like, oh, I don't think so.
Let me ask ChatGPT. What should I ask it? I should ask if you move a speaker away from a nearby boundary, what happens to the, what should I say, cancellation frequency? As you move it closer or further, let's see if it knows. Sometimes it has the wrong answer.
If you move it closer, it shifts that frequency up. If you move it further, it shifts it down. So I'm trying to think, was I saying that right when I was telling you? If you move it down, it moves that frequency. Yeah, that's right. I'm sticking by it.
This thing doesn't know. Okay. The intensity, cancel it because the phase shift between the wave distance, the frequency that which cancel is, move the speaker further away can align different frequencies with points of constructive or destructive. Yeah, that seems kind of right, but I don't know. I wouldn't trust it.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
So what else? There was a question here about the, let's see, a question for you about the Kef blades compared
I'll just say this. So I've got the Kef Blade 2 Meta, not the Blades, not the Blade 1 Meta, just because I'm trying, they're different designs, right? I want to make sure everybody knows what I'm talking about here. I've heard nothing that touches these speakers, like not even remotely, seriously. So if I can make them my own, I'm going to try really hard. Dang. Dude, dang. It's next level stuff, dude. The only thing that I wish they did was I wish they had wider sound stage, like wider radiation, like that PS Audio FR10, because when you're going back and forth, that's the one thing that PS Audio does, in my opinion, that's more preferable, right? Like that's a preference. That is 100% a preference thing. But they still throw a pretty wide sound stage. It's not that it's narrow or anything. It's just that PS Audio is like plus or minus 80 degrees, but it's very consistent. You know, it's just that I love that thing, dude. But so, like the layering for that PS Audio is so freaking awesome, dude. Like it just like stuff that's out on the left is like way out on the left, and you can pick out very distinct imaging within the sound stage. Like it's so awesome. But then those Kefs, it's just the things that go on within the sound stage of those Kefs is otherworldly. And the overall tonality, like there's no resonance that I can hear. It's just,
Okay. So as I was tuning my car audio system and spending a ton of time doing that, just because I'm the type where if I start a project, I can't stop unless it's finished. Like it'll bug me, and I needed to do this Magic Bean stuff. So I wouldn't allow myself to do it unless I finish this thing. So I'm like, I got to finish this.
Right.
Or at least get it to a level where I'm happy with it. And I came to the conclusion that maybe I don't have expensive stuff in there. You know, maybe a car audio system could sound like extremely good, but I came to the conclusion that if I were to listen to any pair of decent speakers that I have here in the house and I set them up where, you know, they're even, that listening experience is going to be ridiculously better.
Yeah.
Like way, way better than being off center, right? And being having this here and having all these like issues. No matter how well I tune the car, it's like that is as good as this is going to sound.
Yeah,
totally. It's good. I don't have any like ridiculous issues where I'm sitting, but it's not going to be as good as listening to these speakers in this room. Like this is just going to be better, right?
Yeah.
Soundstage is going to be better, right?
Yeah.
Is that, would you say that jump, and you have nice systems, right? You've done like real high end systems. Would you say that's kind of true for the most part? Like the best car audio system versus like a pretty good home system, your experience is still going to be better at home?
In terms of the stereo, so I think not necessarily for tonality, but for everything else, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Tonality, I think a car can sound better because most of the time you are doing more intense equalization, right? And then you have free cabin gain, so you got plenty of bass, and you know, you can just make it sound really good. Yeah. But
yeah,
staging and stuff like that, like you just can't do. There's only so much you can do in a car. Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the near field a lot of times of the speaker. So
right.
Okay. Would you say that jump from a car audio system to the imaging would be similar to ordinary pair of speakers like that most people have, and then going to the Kef Blades? Is that like?
Yeah,
that
I mean, it might be, dude. Yeah.
That type of jump.
Yeah, it's tough because people were like, "Well, how would you compare them to?" Using like the reference one meta with some subwoofers, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't think it's going to do the same thing, you know. Like I just don't know how to put it into words that it really is that good, you know. I just think the best I could probably relay it is right now, I don't know how you get better sound other than, like I said, just the preference aspect of maybe having wider radiation pattern, personally speaking. But outside of that, I don't know how I would improve them. Like, I don't know what else I would want a speaker to do. Maybe go down to 10 hertz.
This is so please clipple the Kef blade. I know that you mentioned before that, you know, you weren't sure if you could do it. And I saw a comment, I think on a previous Daily Hi-Fi one, where like, well, I'm not going to trust you if you're not going to put it on there or something like that.
Yeah, dude, did you even watch the video?
He's either going to do the clipple or he's going to do it outside and have to do it manually in the hard way, but it's still going to be anechoic data.
Well, it's done. So it's been on the clipple. It came off the clipple yesterday. The data's done. So.
You know how I know that? Because I'm a patron supporter. So
you're a patron.
I already knew that. I was just playing along right here. You see,
I appreciate that. Yeah.
You see, I was just playing along, playing dumb. That's shilling 101 right there.
That's right, man.
You guys give it up for me. You see that shilling right there? Shilling for Aaron's Patreon. That's how I do. See how easy it is? It's so easy for me.
It's so easy, man.
I could shill anything, and that's why I try not to shill stuff. I tell people on my videos, I'm trying my best to not shill stuff because it's easy.
Yeah.
I could sell so much stuff. That's like been my job. Like, I know how to sell stuff.
Dude, but you could sell.
I'm trying to sell stuff.
Yeah, man. You could sell cereal to a kid.
Like, without the face too.
Without somebody just pinched my butt face.
Yeah. Let's just stay on kind of topic here. If you don't use, if you don't use,
man, this dude's going in, man.
He's gonna be disappointed. Was that him? Was it MW? Was that you?
I don't think so. I'm just saying this guy's going in on me. He's like, you better get your act together. Yes, they have been clippled. They're done. Okay. The data's done. The data looks fantastic.
It's meant for the clipple though. I think that's what it is. So. Yeah. You got some awesome design, and then you got the highest tech measurement device. They go hand in hand.
I had to get help lifting it up onto the stand. Out, dude. And you talking about nervous? I was nervous with that PS Audio FR10 because those are 10K a pair. But these Kef Blade 2s, man, they're like almost 30K a pair. You're sweating bullets, dude. Like, please God, don't let this tip over on the way there, or don't let it tip over. Like, once I set it up there, you know, I was nervous. When I finally got it back down, and I sit on the ground, then all my neck pains and my upper back stress is gone now. Like, I can live stress free. But yeah, those results aren't going to disappoint, man. I'm really excited about. I've already looked at them a little bit, but I'm really excited about running my my normal scripts through them and checking some of the other stuff that I don't get out of the Clipple software.
Uh-huh. So you got them safely off of the Clipple.
Yep, they're off the Clipple. They're back in my living room for follow up listening. Yeah.
Now you're gonna it. Yeah. If you don't decide to buy those things, you know.
It's going to be hard. Like, I'm just like, how do I follow this up? You know, like, now that I know what's out there, like, am I ever going to be happy with not having this kind of sound again? You know, and then the question seriously is like, okay, so if there are speakers out there that are $400,000, then they better sound better than this speaker.
Yeah.
How are they going to do that? Like, other than just get louder.
It reminds me of that camera conspiracies channel that he does camera reviews, and his thing goes, all I want is the perfect camera. Right. And his whole thing is about finding the perfect camera. Right. And when the Sony a7s3, like, it's a pretty awesome camera, does everything. He's like, you guys trying to ruin my channel here? You guys trying to ruin me? Like, I have nothing bad to say about this thing. And his whole thing is about saying what's wrong with the camera.
That's awesome.
You know, what he wishes it have. So you're sure that there's nothing with those aluminum cones, right? It's not going to come out looking like the Bowers and Wilkins port.
Oh gosh. No.
Cause those aluminum drivers are easy to kind of dent.
They are. They can be, for sure. Yeah. I think if I were going to get those, I'd be like, can I have like a pair of extra drivers sent over just in case somebody comes over my house and decides to do something stupid?
Do they have grills?
No, I don't think so. No.
You can't have people over. You can't have kids over, ever. For sure.
Ever.
Never.
Yeah. I agree.
Imagine.
Ever. Even my own daughter, she's going to be banned. I'm going to have a steel gate drop down over my speakers before people come over.
Okay. So how about this? There's so much hate for expensive speakers. Does having the Kef Blades change your mind about spending a bit more?
Oh, I've never thought that you shouldn't spend more. Yeah, I've reviewed plenty of speakers that are pretty costly. Mm. That sound like the JBL 4367, or I think are $18,000 or $16,000 a pair. One of the best sounding speakers I've ever heard. JBL N2, again, one of the best sounding speakers I've ever heard, but they're ugly as sin. they are. They're hideous to look at, dude. But, you know, that's cool.
How much of it, that leads to this, how much of it is the designer? I find that the designer, the person designing it, has a lot to do with how good the speakers come out. Like, a great designer can make inexpensive speakers that are like, wow, these are really good. But you give that same designer the ability to use whichever drivers and whatever parts and like all the things that this guy or girl wants to use, and it's like, well, that's better. Like, he didn't purposely try to make the cheaper ones worse. It's just that he was limited with the components that he was able to use. So at what level do you think it's the designer knowing how to make a good speaker versus like, I need to spend more if I want to make this better?
Yeah.
Like, what's that cap? And, you know, what I'm talking about, right?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, like Andrew Jones, right? Like, he's made expensive speakers that sound incredible. And then he's made dirt cheap speakers that sound really good.
Mm.
Right. So it just depends. I don't really know the answer to that, to be honest. You know,
Tim is telling me there's a super chat that I have to get to.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
No, Tim.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim.
Oh, snap.
Fezulai. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for the super chat. He says, congrats on Magic Beans. I've probably signed up on the website 6 times. All right. So excited to purchase it. Shout out to you and Reverend Slim helping me out on the Discord. You're very welcome. And also shout out to Reverend Slim. He is awesome. He's out there helping all these folks out, and he just likes to do it, you know? So thank you. Thank you for that. And definitely, I'll look out for that name. I'll look out for your name. I'll make sure you definitely get an email to the early beta test. Thank you.
Beta.
Let's see. Aaron, I'm just going to knock out all these, and then we'll take off.
No, not necessarily. Any DAC streamer reviews in the future? No. The only electronics that I think I have coming up is Dayton Audio sending me that HTA 200, that tube amp thing. That I was curious about that. I think that looked pretty neat. Mm-hmm. So they're going to loan me that to review. And I think it's Stark Sound is sending me one of their 8-channel amplifiers.
Mm.
So that they actually sent me an email and asked if I'd be interested. I was like, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, send one out my way.
You know what would be great is you test these things like these tube amps, right? And if it wasn't so much like it's here's the easy thing. I think for me, even the easy thing is to like, let me dispel this myth, right? About why these actually suck. And all you guys who have liked it in the past are crazy, right?
Yeah.
And that's the easy thing. Like I'm tempted to like go that route because it's just so easy. Like, you guys love tubes? Well, this is, let me show you exactly why, you know, versus like, if you just went about it, I'm not telling you how to do it, but I would love to see it if it were just like, well, this is what it's doing. And if you like it, that's cool. But this is just what it's doing. Like, you're not judging whether that's good or not. It's just, this is what it's doing. So,
yep. That's actually kind of what I plan to do. I mean, if it does have high distortion, then okay, cool. You know, like, but does it still do what it's supposed to do? Does it make rated power? Cool. You know, does the response change? Okay. You know, just trying to get a little bit of insight into it.
You can not like it. Like, you can say, hey, this is my subjective thing. I prefer not have this extra distortion, but if you like it, then that's cool. You know?
Yeah. Even if that's what it is. I mean, who knows for sure, but I mean, that's the common thing is to think that that's what it is. And it may not even be the case for this particular amplifier. It may be really good. In terms of distortion, it may just have a classic look. So we'll see.
Yeah. Or audiophiles like bright speakers and then it tames the highs.
Yeah. That one too.
So it's good. This does the perfect amount of EQ.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
Aaron, is it possible to test transient response?
Possibly. That's a long answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's a long answer. I think I'm going to do a video on something like that soon, but yeah.
Okay. Okay. So Maxime says, okay, thanks. Will Magic Beans come with tutorials? That's what I'm working on today. So they will have in-app tutorials, you know, showing how to export and import into the various devices, just because we support lots of devices. So it'll be in the app itself, you know. That's what I'm working on. So you can kind of sneak peek, you know.
Uh-oh.
You know.
Oh, snap.
Tutorial. That's how it looks.
Look at that. Oh, snap.
Over here. You import. This is how you do it. Boom, 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 boom. Oh. Happy. Awesome sound. The end.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That so cool. It will definitely have tutorials. What else? Reed says, have you tried Odyssey One by OCA? So that's Obsessive Compulsive Audiophile. I saw that he came out with this thing. I watched the video where it looks pretty crazy. It's you take all these measurements and somehow, I don't know if it's like a new version of REW, but it takes some measurements from there and maybe there's some kind of like API, but he has this thing that takes all of them and it starts calculating things from them, mm-hmm. like from all the measurements that are within REW. And then it comes out with a filter and it's like, okay, this is what you use. So that's pretty cool. That's really awesome that he figured that out. I don't know if he's working with John. How do you say his last name? John.
Not Mulaney. Dang it.
McCauley.
I always want to do that. Mulkey. Yeah.
The guy who
John is watching this. If John is watching this, which he's probably not wasting his time on us, but if he is, he knows that we just don't know how to pronounce anything at this
point. We should have him on. I wonder if he's ever on.
You know, I actually invited him onto my channel one time a couple years ago, and he politely declined.
He
was saying like he's kind of like being behind the scenes, and I was like, "That's cool, I get it." So
okay,
but, yeah.
Hey, that guy, awesome.
Yeah,
that's another one that you should spend your money on. Go donate to him.
That's what I tell people, man.
But no, I haven't tried it myself. I just thought it was really cool. One day I'll talk to him. Reason I haven't talked to him because like I was working with somebody who's like, you know, trying to tune up their system and I had him trying Magic Beans and he was also talking to OCA, right? And he's like, you want me to connect you guys up? I was like, not right now, because I know he's going to get super into like FIR filters and all this stuff. And I'm like, I can't even go there right now. Cause if I go there, then
you're never going to finish your project.
I'm not, right? So
yeah.
It's not that I don't want to go there. It just I know what'll happen is if I go that direction, I'm just gonna hold on a second. I gotta hold off while I gotta implement it later.
Yeah.
Right.
That's that thing that perfection is like the ruiner of good enough or whatever always hose that up, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's why I set the date. I just had to set a date and I gotta make it as good as possible for that date.
Yeah.
So, gotta just come out with it. Another super chat. Corey, thank you for the $10 super chat. He says, can the Weem Pro Plus, is that out yet? I don't know, because I know they have some Ultra or something like that. Can the Weem Pro Plus at approximately $200 be an end solution for a streamer deck? If not, how much percentage of music fidelity is left on the table? What's the best stream deck combo you've heard under $3,000?
I'm out on this one, man. I don't do any DAC streaming products.
Okay, so I guess I can only say that I've tried the Blue OS that's built in the NAD T778.
Yeah, so yeah, I've used that.
Sounds good, right? It's hard for me to compare these things because I don't know that I hear a difference between all these. And with the T778, there's a lot of other things involved. Like maybe it's the Class D amps that are in that. Maybe it's the fact that I'm using Cobuzz instead of YouTube Music, right? There could be many other factors. I don't know that I'm qualified to compare those just because I haven't tried a lot of them. For me, it's more about, does this thing work? A lot of times the streaming things don't even work well, or it's not compatible with all of your streaming services. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, those are issues. Like, what is the DTS one? PlayFi?
I don't know, man.
It's the one that SBS uses it. A lot of other companies use it. It's just like, I'd rather you just use my stock app, you know? And then you have to test it. I don't know. I've been impressed with what I've seen for the Weem stuff and what you guys have said. I have one. I have not taken it out of the box for the same reason why I haven't contacted OCAs, because I feel like there's a lot that it can do. And I don't, if I touch that thing, I'm going to get into it.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
And I want to know everything it does. And, you know, it's going to take a while. So I'm going to take my time and do it right. But you like, you have any more Weem stuff coming?
No, not right now.
No. Okay.
No.
You got disconnected. Okay. In the meantime, thank you again for the super chat, Corey. And we have another one. Master Lesson says, Oro 3 Beans.
There you go.
Thank you for the super chat, Master Lessons. Oro 3 Beans. You know, as crazy as that sounds, right? I'm more of a creator in the sense, like, video is just one sort of creation, right? Reviews is one form of creation. But, you know, we made the spatial toolkit. That's a different type of creation. I'm making this app. That's a different form of, like, a business type of creation. But when it comes to, like, you're joking about Oro 3 Beans, I've made my own upmixer, and I let Shauna hear it when he was here recently. By the way, that guy's awesome. My kid had a play. My 7-year-old had a play. And this dude drove like over an hour in traffic to surprise her to watch her play. So
Shauna's, that's a good dude
we have. You know what I mean? That's the kind of, yeah, friendship we have. But I, while he was here, I let him hear my upmixer that I made that's on the computer. And it's just a personal thing. I'm not planning on selling it, but it's just a project. And I played one of his Atmos demos, and he's like, dude, that sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty convincing. So, yeah. Thank you again for the super chat. Anything else? I know you look like we should probably get going very soon.
Yeah,
anything?
It's getting dark.
What are the go-to AVRs under $1,000? I don't know. That would be a Chana question. Please ask, hold on to that. When Chana is back, ask him, because he'll have a whole list. And if anybody in the comments, let him know. I don't know. I kind of go towards like Denon just because they're safe.
I generally say Denon too, man. I really don't keep up with that kind of stuff. It's not in my wheelhouse right now.
Yeah, I think, or a used AVR, because they're always updated. And sometimes they don't add very much. They may change stuff with a video. So if it's not a big issue, have the latest video, then maybe that. I saw Everyday Jay, I saw online that Mosmo brand AVRs had an update to fix the distance calculation in Odyssey. Can you show us how to make sure if the unit has the update and is now calculations correctly? I think you can go into the settings and it'll show you the firmware that you have. It's a little bit tricky when it comes to the firmware updates for Denon, because if you wanted to check the, what do they call that? The release notes, like all the things they changed. It's actually, you have to Google it and it'll bring you to like a UK site. And only the UK site has the list of the updates. Like, it's kind of weird. I don't understand why it's only their side. So do that. Make sure, look at the firmware and make sure that it matches. Because sometimes if you have it automatically updating, it may update at 2 a.m. You may never know. All right. Hyperboy Williams, is it possible
to test?
I've asked.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad this was brought up because I meant to call them. So the person that I was talking, like their marketing department at Polk or whoever handles their marketing for them, you know, they always hire like outside brands and whatever. The lady was like super responsive. She got the R500s out to me like within 2 days. I replied back and said, I got them. She replied back quickly. I was done testing. I said, hey, I'm done. You know, here's the link. It's public. I'm ready to send these back. They're packed up and all that stuff. I didn't hear back. I tried 3 times total and I haven't gotten a reply. And I was actually telling somebody last night, like, I hope that this lady's all right. Like, I'm serious. Oh. Like, they just, like, it went cold. So I need to give them a call actually tomorrow and just see what's going on. But yeah, in that email, when I said I was sending the R500s back, I asked if they would be willing to send the R700s as well. And my guess is that they probably would, but I just need to get, I don't know, maybe if my email has gotten lost in their spam folder. I'm hoping that's all it is.
Why not the Polk Legend? No interest? Legend, what is the 600?
800, L600? I think
it's L800. Like
the dual mid-range thing. Dude, stuff.
Those actually do something really cool, man. I've heard them. That's a cool trick that they do, man.
I think if they were newer, I might, but I feel like at this point, enough people have covered them that I don't really know if it's worth the time. You know, if somebody had them nearby and wanted to bring them over or something, that'd be one thing, but I personally don't know if I feel like trying to deal with lugging them
around. They're big. They're freaking huge.
They're big. Okay. Yeah.
And then last question, and we got to go. I'm going to be joining the after show here, but from MW again. Aaron, are you going to ever test pro audio gear like Myers, L Acoustics? Is that how you say it? L Acoustics? Yeah. L Acoustics? Alcon's audio?
I don't have any reason not to, other than I just haven't yet. if they offer to send me some stuff, I would. But I have tested Danley, has SH50. I've tested that. And then some of the JBL Pro stuff. And I think there's some other pro audio designs I've tested, but not any of those. I'm interested in testing Theory speakers. Those ones look really interesting to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's see. Yeah, I think that's it for today. I appreciate you guys joining. And Aaron, thank you again for joining, even though you're at your car, in your car. Looks like you got to get going.
Man. I'm glad to talk with you.
Let's see. For the folks out there who want to continue this conversation, crew.dailyhifi.com. And thank you again for the people who gave super chats. That helps us keep this going. Sure. Support Tim. Tim is the guy who edits, so look out for the daily videos. Anything else? Shop.dailyhifi.com if you want to get merch. Anchor.fm/dailyhifi if you want to listen to the audio-only version. And that's it. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we'll see you guys next time, hopefully with Chana. So see you, Aaron. See you, everybody.
Later, man. See y'all.
All right. Bye.